Hello, everyone, and welcome to Prusa Live 46. I'm here, as always, with Joseph Prusa. And
hello.
Hi.
How's everyone doing today?
We're great. We're just complimenting how warm it is outside.
How warm it is, yeah.
I mean, lucky for us.
Yes.
With the energy crisis.
Yes.
But, you know, a couple of minutes ago, I got, like, the jet lag stream of energy, but maybe in a couple tens of minutes I will also want to sleep.
Fall asleep, yeah.
And after that I also want to be up, you know. It was easier to travel when I was younger.
Joe, we absolutely promise we will not screenshot you and make funny memes out of it if you fall asleep in your chair, so that definitely will not happen. Grant, I see you're out there, get ready.
Two people in the chat say lots of echo, but then everyone else seems to be fine. So don't tell us. Well, no echo for me. Okay, that's really weird. So,
yeah. I trust Blue. Blue's a good man.
Not here. Okay, I will go with no echo. All right, okay,
thank you
guys.
We'll keep going with it. All right, we've got a great show for you guys this week. So let's just go ahead and jump right in. Super excited. Happy Halloween, or almost Halloween, everyone. This is definitely our Halloween show. Joe, well, actually, let's save Joe for last, because I think Joe's printable pick of the week is definitely the best. I'll actually go first this time.
Yeah, go first.
Since mine's Halloween, and I normally go last. So mine is The Grumpy Pumpkin from our good friend Bugman.
Bugman.
Which just comes out absolutely fantastic in Prusa Orange PLA. So
Prusa Orange is perfect for these pumpkins.
Yes, absolutely.
Spot on.
There's been a couple comments out there of how great Prusa Orange is for the pumpkins. Caleb always seems to start messaging me right as soon as we start the show, so I'm gonna go ahead and mute that.
I'm just gonna sneak
What do you have there, Mickey?
Okay, so we kind of have the same theme here. It is Halloween, but there is another theme going here in the offices, and that's printing things big because it's hilarious. So if you remember the fidget contest and the fidget things, and there was the clicker, which is supposed to be like this big, and you're supposed to just... Yeah, so whenever I'm stressed, I can now, you know, it's six times as big, so I'm six times more relieved.
I mean, whenever you are stressed, you can make the whole office stressed. Because
yes.
Do it.
No, this is
do it.
This is relaxing. Look, it's just like...
we used to have a toy for Easter, like...
yes, a rattle spinner thing.
Yeah. That makes this sound.
Yeah. It is like that.
So this is the fidget clicking wheel 2.0 bar by Begun, only scaled to 600%. And there is a certain printer which could print it significantly larger. So, yeah.
Next time.
Show.
All right, Joe. What do you have? Another giant fidget toy.
We've been kind of team printing with Mikolas this time.
So dumb.
Oh, it didn't make the noise now.
They make much better noises.
So satisfying.
And what model is that?
That is the fidget toggle switch.
Toggle switch by Chris Wilcode.
Yes.
Very nice.
It's also normally supposed to be kind of tiny.
It's like, I mean, if you toggle it right, it's like Chewbacca.
That's right.
That is the best part.
So are our prints for this stream.
Wonderful. So both of those came out of some of the past fidget contests.
That's right.
And in contests, our Mechanical Marvels contest just completed. So we will have results out for that for you guys shortly. You guys were amazing again. If you haven't checked out the jellyfish print, there's a lot of users that have been printing that and posting videos up to social media, and it is super cool.
Yeah, I do have some favorites from the contest, but I'm gonna keep them to myself for the time being. But there are a few prints that are quite
there's the jellyfish.
Oh,
that's one that a lot of people are out there printing, so it's pretty easy to check that one out.
Yeah.
So yeah, some really great things in here. Some really big surprises. Lots of fun. We have the Halloween contest is running right now. As is very fitting. So get your Halloween entries. A little bit different from our normal flash contests in that we went ahead and allowed entries through the entire month of October in from this. So if you posted something in early October and are worried that it's not valid to enter in the contest, it is. So go ahead and update your entry and get it in the contest. Were you going to say something?
I just saw today someone told me on Twitter that their flash contest for repairs has over 1,000 entries.
Really? Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Right.
Oh my god.
So I was a little worried that one was going to not have a ton because, like, if you didn't have something broken at the time, you know, it would be a little trickier. But, it worked out well, for sure. I think it was one of those good inspirations of, like, people who may not have posted things previously because
this is just
a fix for something around my house, like who cares about this, I might as well print it now.
We should run this next time with I fix it. I don't know if they still like us because we don't use Dozuki.
We made our own Dozuki, but better Prushuki. These models, that's the, you know, we call it the long tail. These are the results that, even though they make the 0.1%, it's that needs to be there because if you're looking for a repair of something specific, you know, only maybe a few people in the world will need it, but those people will really appreciate someone else sharing the model and them being able to repair something that was previously broken.
Oh yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Very, very important part of the ecosystem. And we have more flash contests coming on the way too.
That's true.
So you were talking about like all those big prints and how you could possibly print something even bigger.
Even bigger? Do you think there's like a way bigger machine right in front of us right now? I'm not gonna do the thing from last time when I ran behind the camera and showed up. But yeah, that's. That's true. That thing does exist.
And play the special one, the last, please.
The last?
But you know the gold one.
Yeah, I know. Okay, we can do them one by one. That's fine.
Because
yes,
after the last one, people who didn't watch.
That's true. Yeah, we have a few time lapses of the XL. We finally have enough parts to build more internal test units, which means. Even departments that are not critical, like us, content, get one, which is very nice because most of them are in, you know, testing and firmware development and hardware development. So now we have one as well, which is nice. And yeah, so we made a few time lapses. Here's a skull print.
And that print is behind you.
Yeah, that's actually
Looking quite dope.
There is one more shot of that I made it, which I particularly like, and that's the. You know, famous Albert Hitchcock zoom, where as you go close to the print, you change the zoom, so the perspective changes, and it's really spooky.
Yeah, but what we were talking about just before the stream is that people forget that the scale the XL prints.
Yeah, it's bigger than my head, just the skull. I just eyeballed the scale, and it's way too big. And it could be even way bigger on the XL.
You know, it's just so tiny on the XL print bed.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Okay, another time lapse that we have is this waste, and it's a fancy shot on a slider.
Oh yeah, smooth.
And also, there's another angle. This is also an entry to. Is it not the winner actually?
The base mode vases. Yep.
It's called the over-engineered vase, which. Kudos, it actually is very over-engineered, I love it. And yeah, that's absolutely huge. I love when you look at the spool, how the filament is just...
Oh yeah.
It's just going.
Yeah.
It's gone. Okay, and as Joe requested, we saved the best for the last.
And people in the chat, tell us what you find so special. Oh, it is not tree support.
But yes, this is the first sneak peek of Prusa Slicer 2.6.
I have it here.
With some special supports.
You have a little sneak peek of some organic support.
Yes.
And you can expect more and more previews on the Excel prints, because it makes the big print so much quicker if you need support.
Yes.
Especially for people who want to print, you know, single material, helmets and stuff for cosplay.
We're gonna talk more about them probably in the next stream, but
yeah,
for now, just organic supports exists and
yeah,
you're gonna have to live with that for now.
Keep it
yes,
quiet, because, you know, this is special just for you, the guys who are watching the stream.
That's true.
Yes. You guys have been asking for tree supports forever, but we're bringing you organic supports.
Yeah.
We will never do tree supports.
I mean, we have tree supports for SLA. That's.
But, you know, but that's different kind of tree supports.
Yeah, that's different. That's.
But, you know, I think a couple of streams ago, I was telling people that we are going to have something much more special than what is available out there. And
that's true. Yes.
Just push it in. This is state of the art.
That's true.
Yeah, so. And you mentioned that we have tree supports for resin printing, but you just put out a really great new article about resin printing and some of the things that can happen with the
That's
the
a good
SLS.
Transition. That's
yeah,
true, yeah. We did add casting resin to our eShop, and it, from all it looks and all our experience from people that tried it, it seems to be like one of the best casting resins, like the really high-end stuff. It's fairly expensive, but that's what you get when you want the good stuff. And we have an entire video about that on our YouTube channel and an article. So if you are into casting, you can read that. And if you just are interested to learn about how it is, because it is casting metal, I find it really intriguing, the whole topic. And about the adding the VEX columns and the escape routes, and you know, the temperature changes where you slowly increase and burn out different parts. It's really quite interesting
right,
topic. So,
because do we have a partner who does the casting here in Czechia?
I'm not sure.
I was looking into it to make some Christmas presents.
Oh.
And I hope Bara isn't watching.
I don't think she is.
We'll find out soon enough.
Yeah.
My a good friend of mine made his engagement ring by designing
mine
it himself.
As well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he designed
yeah,
it himself. He 3D printed it himself, and he sent the resin print off to a caster.
I think the most interesting part about this casting resin is that once you print it, instead of curing it, you throw it in the IPA and leave it there for a while.
Okay.
That's really wild, but
yeah,
that's kind of the special thing about the X1 by Bluecast.
Right.
And yeah, you can watch the video. There's everything about how to use it. So even if you never plan to do it, I still think it's worth watching.
It's definitely worth checking out. Yeah, my wife showed me a Facebook Marketplace entry last night that someone was selling a full investment casting setup, and she's like, what do you think? And I was like, well, we just released the resin. So
that's true.
Very fun stuff.
Oh. Bada just messaged me evil emoticon.
Oh, she is watching. Really? Oh, damn.
Well, now you know she watches. Great. In other resin news, we have resin packs coming. We've done filament packs in the past, but now we have resin packs coming. So it's buy three resins, get a fourth for free. And that will be hitting the eShop shortly.
Yeah,
I think it's actually pretty good deal, and it's not like a one-time thing. It's not like an you know, like a special promo. It should be there. So if you need like multiple resins to restock, get multiple colors or everything, you can just get four for the price of three. So
yeah,
25% discount essentially.
Yeah, we just finally after like half a year got all the chemicals. So we can manufacture all the resins.
Nice.
Which is, you know, this day and age just suck.
I might get more into resin printing again, because I do have some...
This stream?
Yeah.
It's gonna start right now.
Yeah.
Yes. We've had a lot of events going on, as Joe mentioned, feeling a little jet-lagged and things. So we all came back from Earth. It was fantastic seeing you all at Earth. It was such a great turnout, and you know, we had so many of you in the booth, met so many faces that we, you know, have met over the internet over the years, but haven't met in person, and we got to meet a ton of you. So
I had a great time at Earth. I really enjoyed it.
I enjoyed Earth as much as humanly possible.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was so awesome. It was so awesome. You know. As the COVID situation was much better, a lot of people building their own crazy, you know,
in the
weird printers.
Yeah.
Got in, and I got to chat with all those crazy inventors, and it was awesome.
Yeah, it was a ton of fun. I did Maker Faire Milwaukee this past weekend, and again ran into a bunch of you at Maker Faire Milwaukee, and. You guys were at some Czech convention too, industrial convention, right?
There was Maker Faire in Brno, and there's like now quite a few things happening here in Europe.
Yeah. And some of us will be at Maker Faire Orlando, not this coming weekend, but the weekend following. So we look forward to seeing you guys at Maker Faire Orlando if you'll be around.
One thing that I'm looking forward to is our booth at Formnext.
Oh yeah,
It will be something.
I saw today the final render.
Yeah,
fantastic.
You know that I hate to spend money on the booth.
I know,
but I know that this was made very efficiently.
Yeah.
And it is very cool.
It's time for us to have a pro level.
No, I mean when I say that, I mean, you know, at Formnext there are booths which cost evidently. Like at least $500,000,
right?
And I would never do that because you know, it would make the printers so much more expensive.
Yeah.
But I know that we made this very efficiently, and if you can, just come over and say hi, because you will love it.
And if you can, we will definitely share some pictures of it online. So I think it will be.
That is true too.
It will be nice.
Oh, I just opened it.
Yeah. you will have to wait to see it. We're looking at it right now.
Very, very much looking forward to it. At Earth, I did a presentation about the past, present, and future of printables. And
yes.
We showed off some new features coming, and some of those have already launched, right?
It's here. Analytics are here. And
analytics are here now.
If you're not subscribed to the Printables YouTube channel, you should. There is a whole video that will explain to you everything that's going on in here. But, you know, in short, on your profile, there's a new tab called Analytics. And it's just insanely, like, complex. I mean, you can do... If you have ever used Google Analytics, then you will find yourself at home, because you can group the data by days, weeks, months, and you can set custom periods of time. You know, you have some quick shortcuts in here. My favorite is the makes graph, where you can see like a few makes, and then suddenly boom, and it just goes up and it stays up. So that's when we introduce the reward systems.
Right.
So I think that's really, really cool. And also you have all your models, you can search in them quickly, you can, you know, sort them by or various metrics, and you can even click on the individual models and you will get analytics for that specific model. You can also access the analytics directly from the model page. There's a little analytics button. Only you can see the data for your model.
Yeah, we were talking about making it accessible, at least some parts of it, to others, like makes or downloads. So users could maybe self moderate the people who are as honest.
Yeah.
But maybe that is a question you can guys comment on.
Yeah. So yeah, analytics are here. I personally like it. I hope you like it as well.
I just got your train of thought and completely hijacked it.
Oh yeah, maybe. Yeah,
but you know, after all, the biggest metric of quality is that Wilco loves it.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
If Wilco, the like biggest data nerd there is, likes it, then I think we can consider it like job pretty well done.
And yes. And I even talked with him privately. And eventually, I think we are going to do the comparison of two time periods. But I just didn't want to keep this hidden before this might be finished.
Yeah,
because you know most of the useful stuff is already here. And Mikulas, you really need to do something about the Prusa meters.
No, I don't.
At least you have to hide it, because
I can hoard them forever.
I mean, when some people see this, I think they
people want to be able to trade Prusa meters, Joe. We need to give people the ability to trade.
Someone is saying that maybe the analytics give too much info to the cheaters. The cheaters always think that they are so smart.
Oh my god.
And it's so easy. It's so easy to deck them. The last guy,
you would not believe this, because people, you know, basically all the people who approach our customer support with problems with Prusa meters,
yeah, so like,
and vouchers,
yeah.
It is like 95% cheaters.
Yeah.
And they are like, yeah.
Why do I have minus 5,000 Prusa meters? And we're like, yeah, well, you played with fire and you got burned.
Right. Yeah, and we are not that harsh that we would delete the accounts and stuff like that.
Sometimes, like, if it's blatant, if it's like just spam account, like, we just press the button and it's gone, but...
Yeah, we had one recently that was just nothing but ripped off plagiarized models.
But it's always the like 0.01% that are trying this, but for us it's the visible ones that we have to deal with. But yeah, it's really easy to detect. We have various measures in place. Many of them are automatic, so we just see big red lights like...
Yeah, and I would like to say that we don't investigate just when the voucher is requested, but also... You know, we care about licenses.
That's true.
Compared to other sites, which we won't mention.
But yeah, also, if you use the report function on printables, thank you. That also helps us quite a bit whenever someone just, you know, uploads a black picture with empty print or something like that. So thank you very much if you help us keep printables clean and safe. So thank you.
Yes.
For sure. Okay, I think that gets us through most of our news and updates. We have a lot to chat about this week. So
that's true. Yeah.
So let's go ahead and bring in our guest. So our guest this week is Derek from Van Oaks Props, which is a major YouTube channel for Halloween haunt building. So perfectly timed for Halloween in just a couple days.
Hey, Derek.
Derek, thanks.
Hello.
Sorry it took us a while to get through all the news.
Yeah.
Oh, I was watching over here, so thank you for the update.
Lots going on. So, Derek, tell us a little bit about Van Oaks, your haunt, and what you do on your YouTube channel.
Well, the haunt is basically your typical traditional sort of New England style cemetery that we do in our front yard. We've been doing it since 2013, and everything in it is handmade. And a lot of the stuff that I made for our display is sort of where the idea for starting my YouTube channel came from. You know, it was a lot of stuff that I normally would have been teaching at conventions or at local get-togethers of other, you know, Halloween enthusiasts. And because of the pandemic, all of those things were shut down here in Los Angeles for a while. And I decided to start a YouTube channel. So it's good fun for people of all ages, mainly because I feel like our brains tend to do all of the heavy lifting when it comes to things that are spooky or scary. And so there's like no blood or gore or anything like that, but it's just good, moody Halloween fun.
Yeah. So a lot of your creations have been traditionally kind of made with foam, right?
Yes.
Right. But you have started incorporating 3D printing more and more into those creations.
Yeah, I mean, the minute that I learned about 3D printers was the minute that I thought, how can I apply this to Halloween? And, you know, there's always the hurdle of learning software and whatnot, or being able to find models that fit whatever you're, you know, shooting for. But after a bit of, you know, learning how to do some basic 3D modeling and kind of coming up with a good process for ensuring that the 3D prints don't melt here in Southern California during the summer, I was off to the races. Like, anytime I would see something, I would say, let's figure out a way to print one. I think the other thing too, for me, because the scale of everything that I do is slightly smaller than life size, I can't just walk into a store and buy stuff off the shelf. Everything's like just slightly smaller than it needs to be. And so being able to 3D print stuff has been invaluable to achieving sort of the look that I'm after.
And you can also modify it to, you know, to add your own little quirks, you know, like names or maybe
totally.
maybe street or something like that. And if you made the effort to finish it, it also means that you are probably going to keep it for a long time instead of just, you know, looking at it and saying, oh, it is too much effort to pack it back in.
Yeah,
and
just throw it away.
I'll just throw it away, yeah. Because I can buy another cheap made China stuff next year for a couple of bucks.
Yeah. And also the great part for me is like the stuff that we do is unique to us. You know, with Halloween becoming so popular, it's pretty common to go from one house to another and to see something that looks similar. And so to be able to say, you know, we're the only people that have this, I kind of like that.
Yeah.
I kind of envy you the, like, Halloween experience in U.S. suburbs.
Yeah, I was just about to talk about this, because we are, you know, young enough and old enough that when I was a tiny kid, I had no idea about Halloween even existing.
Yeah, it's true.
But when, you know, we got into our teenage years, we started to watch US shows, and now we see around that, you know, when Halloween is happening, you know, people are sort of adopting it. Even over here, it's just so cool to watch.
I think if I had a house, I would love doing this too, you know. And yeah. If Halloween was really, it's a little bit of a thing, but it's more like people walking costumes to a party, mm-hmm. like, kind of right. Ends there. But if kids were trick or treating in the neighborhood, I think I would have a blast.
Well, we have over here we have like trick or treat. During the Easter.
That's true.
And we go around the villages or the cities, and we have like, I don't know how to say it.
It's
to
like
sound
willow or something like
yeah, it is like braided branches of young tree and be I don't know how to say it to sound correct.
Yeah,
I will send a link to the chat for the people interested. But be open-minded. It is not about abuse.
Yeah, if there's one thing that I can be happy about, like U.S. exportation of culture, it would be us bringing Halloween to the rest of the rest of the world.
Yeah, the spookiness of Halloween is
it's so much fun.
It's really fun. Oh. Yeah,
in English, it's called Easter Whip.
Easter Whip, okay. Now you get the idea of what we do with it.
Yeah.
We whip the girls.
But, I mean, they are so angry if we don't whip them.
Yes, they want to be whipped. It's true.
Regional traditions. Probably best to move on from this conversation.
I'm sending the link as promised, and we are continuing with Halloween.
Yeah.
Yes. You had mentioned... I'm gonna stop your share here.
Okay.
You had mentioned that you know if you were a homeowner, you would enjoy kind of implementing this. I think you can see this now. So these are my headstones that are in my front yard that were inspired by Derek's creations. If you look closely, Joe, you'll recognize some names there with Ryan and Chris making
it's
their
blown out kind of on our screen.
No, I don't see anything.
Okay,
it's just a smudge.
Yeah.
Did you put my name on the?
No. Ryan and Chris are there though. Yeah. So you would recognize
those. Is Buddy there?
Aww.
No puppies.
So Derek, from what I've seen in your videos, you go about your gravestone prop making quite efficiently, where you do the big chunks out of foam, and then I saw you using a vinyl cutter to make basically the outlines for the letters. Any other tricks you're using you'd like to share?
I mean, when it comes to tombstones, there's so many different ways to go about approaching it. The vinyl cutter was sort of a new one that I just started implementing into my process because I'm a bit of a perfectionist, and tracing things out just never gave me sort of the effect I was going for, but that's always a fun one. I mean, the use of 3D printed parts clearly is a favorite of mine. Mainly because it can take something that's very basic and generic and make it super unique with, you know, not a lot of time invested or cost, which, you know, Halloween people, we are very cheap. we don't want to spend more money than we need to. I find myself reaching for all sorts of random stuff when I'm working on tombstones. I know in the clip that we were just watching, I used a piece of pipe with some sandpaper wrapped around it because I wanted to get that curvature shape into a piece of foam. And because foam is so forgiving, you kind of can work with it with any tools. I've used kitchen knives to cut foam. I've used hot wire to cut foam. There's really no wrong way to go about it.
I would say even if you choose the right kind of foam, and you just press 3D printed letters in, it would make what you need.
Like a stamp, an impression.
I may have to try that and get back to you.
you could basically 3D print the alphabet rather than printing the...
Oh, yeah.
And then do like a press machine, basically.
But we have a lot of customers who are just printing the stamps instead of laser cutting them as it used to be before.
Okay. Yeah.
Nice.
Neat. I think, you know, one of the things from having actually kind of followed your tutorials and built some of the things, I think one of the things that you do so incredibly well, though, is your painting techniques to take these things from not looking like foam to really like looking like stone and, you know, weathered aged stone and things like that. You have some other impressive techniques of like when you've made fake wood and, you know, kind of again used it just a piece of foam and transformed it entirely into a piece of wood. And I think a lot of these techniques would translate really well over to 3D printing. And as you've started integrating more 3D printing, are you finding kind of any differences between the two mediums? And
I don't know, it's hard to say. You know, so much of the stuff that I do is kind of like one off,
right?
And so it's hard to really figure out whether or not there's necessarily that connection there. But more than anything, it's typically not the stuff that you see where I find the 3D printing elements more beneficial to me, because oftentimes we're talking about making stuff that, you know, making things out of parts that aren't really designed to work together. And so it's a lot of custom work. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I need custom brackets for things, or I need custom mounts. And so kind of marrying those two things, it's all the stuff that you don't see where I find 3D printing like really has been extremely helpful for me. You know, the things that you do see, it's the gravy of the whole build, because it's such a huge time saving, and the fact that I can just tell something to go print and I'll, you know, come back to it later. You know, I stand on the shoulders of giants. Like, I've learned so much from so many other people over the years. So it's
anyone you want to name who inspired you? I know it's always hard because you might forget about someone, but
seriously, Dave Lowe, Matt Ford, Gary Korb, Preston and Diane Meyer, like these are all local LA, either like industry people or people that have been doing Halloween for many, many years, some of them decades, who were very nice and open with sharing all of the things that they know. You know, Hollywood can sometimes be a weird place where people don't want to share what they know because it means the difference between they get a job or you get a job. And while, you know, any of us that are like really into Halloween aren't necessarily doing it for work, but these people were very open with all of the techniques and learning from their mistakes so that I don't have to make them. You know, it's been super beneficial to me. So the fact that I was able to find a platform where I could then share all of this knowledge on to other people to kind of help them not have to go through all of that stuff as well. Halloween is such a like interesting mixed bag, and it's people from all different walks of life, people that work in the movie industry, people that have just been doing it because it's what they're into. And the techniques are all over the place. Mm-hmm. It's some stuff where it's like, oh, well, this is what we use in the studios, and some stuff where it's like, oh, I found this random tool at the bottom of the discount tool bin at my hardware store and thought it would be perfect for, you know, whatever. So
is someone trying to even remotely challenge you in your street, or are you the like by far the only so over the top porch?
We are kind of the only house that goes as big as we do. There's some other houses on the block that are decorating. Most of the people that live on our street tend to be older, and so they don't have the interest to do it. And also we've had neighbors come up and say, well, we don't have what it takes to decorate the same way that you guys do, so we just won't do it at all. You know, my opinion is celebrate Halloween however you want to celebrate it. I don't care if it's just putting a pumpkin on your front porch and a couple of lights. Doesn't matter. I'm a fan of all different types of Halloween. It doesn't have to be big and over the top like we do it.
Yeah. How many different elements do you know, how many headstones, mausoleums, things like that, do you do you currently have in your haunt?
I think there's about 15 tombstones, one larger monument, one weeping woman statue, which I guess could be considered a monument, and then this year we added a family crypt, like a New Orleans style above ground family crypt to the display. And then we also have two big brick style pillars with lights on top that, you know, are like 8 feet tall.
I loved watching one of your more recent videos that you talked about using those brick pillars as like the brains of the whole operation, that since you had that space, you could hide, you know, a lot of the controls away in there and things.
Yeah. Well, you know, the way that our house is laid out, we don't have power in the front. So anytime I run electrical, I have to be really careful with how I'm doing it and try not to, you know, make it into this rat's nest of cables and stuff. And so when I realized that that would be as good a place as any to hide a bunch of stuff. So there's like Arduino inside there. There's a junction box that I plug in all of our smaller LED spotlights into. There's just a standard power strip, so I'm not having to run cables for, you know, 50 feet, stuff like that. If anything, the economy of space is always sort of on my mind when I'm building anything, whether it's like the family crypt that I just built, where it's designed to kind of pack flat once Halloween is over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it doesn't take up a ton of space. And anything else that I've ever built for our display, with the exception of the big pillars, is small enough and light enough that it can go up on a shelf in my shop and it's up and out of the way. You know, and so that kind of stuff is always important. I mean, it's I know a lot of people who decorate to the degree that we do or more will have storage space, but they'll take everything and mm-hmm. leave it in a storage locker for the
problem
year.
Solved. Yeah,
right.
And you know, I'd love to do that because it would free up a ton of floor space in my shop, but
right.
That puts an interesting constraint on your design process, where you are thinking about the storage, which leads to interesting solutions. So, yes.
Yeah, for sure.
It's maybe a silver lining a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, and the video that was just showing, it's worth re-mentioning. That entire thing is handmade out of foam and
crazy.
You know, some 3D printed parts and you know, painted to look that way. So you know, really, really impressive finishing to make it look so lifelike. Do you have any kind of aspirational, like larger scale 3D printing, you know, projects that you're kind of thinking about moving forward for the haunt? You know, things that you know, you and I have had the discussion, and not to get too, you know, too soapboxy on Prusa and everything else, but you didn't always necessarily have the best results from 3D printing until we came along and said, hey, like let's change that for you so now that you're kind of having a better 3D printing experience, is that like open you into, you know, there's something that you really want to do that you haven't pulled off yet?
I'd love to sort of incorporate some additional projection effects onto like a bust. So similar to like Disneyland's Haunted Mansion,
right,
where they're projecting a live face or, you know, pre-recorded face onto a blank canvas. But in this case, it would be a bust of some kind. I think something like that could be really interesting. You know, I'm always looking for different ways to add interesting elements to our haunt. So I've been eyeballing doing these you don't see them here in Los Angeles, and I've only seen them when I've gone to the East Coast, But at a lot of cemeteries, you'll see that there are certain graves that have what is called perpetual care, where you basically have someone looking after it and mm-hmm. making sure that the stone looks nice for forever. But they typically come with these little signs, these little like cast iron signs that are staked into the ground. And I have a bunch of pictures of some that I'd seen the last time I was on the East Coast. And I've been thinking about printing up some of those and then giving them like a metal paint job and adding those to the display, because I can't add a lot more large items,
right,
particularly now that the big family crypt is in there. But I find that like the smaller details really tell a greater story and fill in those blanks so that when someone is looking at something, you kind of catch them off guard and they think, oh, this is like the stuff that you would see in a real cemetery. And then they kind of let their mind sort of run free on that idea. And it helps to make the overall experience for them when they're seeing this Halloween cemetery feel a bit more authentic. So, you know, I've been looking into doing stuff like that to kind of help flesh out the overall idea a bit stronger. But yeah, I'd say those are probably like two things that are on my list right now. But honestly, that list changes a couple times a week.
Yeah, it's so easy to see something and get inspired and yeah, just kind of be ready to take another direction.
There is an interesting question in the chat from Marcus about do you weatherproof your creations, or do you just sort of hope that there's not going to be like a very hard rain on Halloween?
He lives in Southern California.
Yeah, that's number one. The products that I use to paint or to hard coat all the tombstones and stuff like that is a masonry sealer, and so that for the most part is sufficient for mm-hmm. the types of weather that we get here in Los Angeles. Although there's some stuff where I've taken the extra step and used like a spray on waterproofer. And then the other thing too is like, you know, most of this stuff is painted either with latex paints or acrylic paints. And those paints are weather resistant. And mm-hmm. so
yeah, it will survive.
They say it never rains
bit.
In Southern California. Yeah. They're not really lying. It rarely does. But you know, generally speaking, those things would be sufficient for most places.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, Derek, it was a pleasure having you. I've been looking forward to having you as a guest, and you absolutely did not disappoint. So thank you very much for joining us.
No, thanks for having me. It was good to be here.
Enjoy the Halloween. I'm looking forward to see some maybe pictures from that on your socials.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. If you want to see more of Derek's work, Van Oaks Props on YouTube. Lots of great tutorials. Also other things other than Halloween. I know a ton of you out there are into all the Star Wars stuff. He has some great Star Wars tutorials also. So go check those out.
The link is in the video description, and then you can also just click the mention in the video title. Yeah. So that should work.
All right. Thank you. We'll
thank you, Derek.
We'll chat with you again.
See ya.
I gotta find the right button. There we go. Yeah. Yeah, his tutorials have been a lot of what I have been following for the stuff that I've been building for my haunt. And it's just amazing following along with especially his painting techniques.
He is awesome, but guys, I should have thought about this, but once we started to talk about crypts, it just hit too hard and too close, because you know, it's not even 2 months since I lowered our father to our crypt.
Yeah,
chills.
Yeah, it's
I
tough.
Get it.
Sorry about that. Didn't think about that being triggering. Just
me neither. Let's go forward.
Let's move on.
Yeah.
In other fun news, we have our Prusa Live contest.
That's true. Number three.
Yeah.
It's H. Pibarius, who I'm sure you guys know. And look at this crazy thing.
It started in the middle, I think.
Yeah.
That's okay.
That's okay.
this one was fun because he showed we're kind of jumping forward here, but he showed his process of iteration where he went from his really basic model to test to make sure everything. Yeah, there we go.
The print orientation is crazy.
Right.
And yeah, exactly.
Proof of concept, not a lot of detail to the far more detailed model.
Yeah, all models by HPBS is all they're always fun, somehow functional. Or, I mean, somehow openable, and there's something inside, and they always print in place, and then they move.
Very fun stuff.
Nice.
We just watched Top Gun last week.
Oh yeah, you told me that you did. Did you like it?
It was awesome.
It's awesome, right?
It was awesome.
We watched it in Prachice in the shuttle on the big new projector thing. It's amazing.
I have not seen it.
Oh, really?
Yes. And with the new speakers.
Okay.
Side-tracking. Going to our number two. It's by Louis. And it's this fun Core XY contraption. I guess it would be very good for illustrating how Core XY works.
Yeah, if you're trying to wrap your brain around like how the movements of Core XY happen, you know, this is a great way to kind of play around with it.
This one uses just one belt that crosses. There's also the other way that you can do it, use two belts that do not cross.
Yeah. So
that's one thing to consider. But yeah, it's really fun. You add a Sharpie to it and you can use the two knobs to try to draw something. So, and also at the same time, you will kind of get how Core XY works.
Yeah, and also your brain will hurt.
Probably, right. Yeah. It will hurt to do this.
It's like the most confusing etch a sketch ever, you know?
Yeah, remember, not everything is better with Core XY.
That's true. For example, drawing.
Okay. And our number one.
Opening number one. It's loading. It's so good, it's loading. So long. So it's by Maurice, and it's this huge 3D printed
clock
thing. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's.
Yeah. So it's a planetary gearbox built into a clock that I believe is from our clocks competition. The models,
yes.
The models there. Yeah.
Yes.
Our timekeepers competition.
It's not in the competition.
Oh, it's not. Okay.
No. Yeah, but
I thought it was.
Definitely could be. Yeah.
Yeah.
The model
fantastic.
Is wild.
Yeah, fantastic model, fantastic build.
Exactly, fantastic print. So, congrats on winning the first place.
Yeah. Congratulations to all of our winners, and shoot me a DM over Twitter, and we will work out getting you your prizes. Thank you very much. Yes. All right. So we've got about 8 minutes left for some questions.
Maybe like the timeline on Prusa Slicer is like maybe an alpha. I mean, going for alpha before the Christmas. I saw that in the chat earlier when
right,
we were talking about the.
Yeah. But we have a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I'm pushing. I'm just releasing tiny increments. So we might keep the tradition of the release on 23rd of December.
Yes.
But we will see. We don't want to put too much pressure on Wojciech.
Yes, they are doing great job. So we will be, I think, slowly releasing sneak peeks. So what you can expect.
What is the difference between tree and organic supports? The organic supports are what you imagine tree supports to be.
Yes, kind of. They're once you'll be able to play with them, I think the difference will be kind of clear. But yeah, it's the shape is different and they behave a bit differently. They're very suitable for FDM supports. I don't think they would be really strange with SLA. Maybe it would work too.
Yeah, but as we were talking today afternoon. That the stuff you think is hard to print, you just rotate it 45 degrees as you would do for SLA and it just prints.
It's kind of crazy how you can sometimes use FDM machine as as SLA and just get this crazy print orientation where the somehow the layer lines, you know, are in the orientation where the print will be strong as you need it, or you will avoid all supports on the visible parts and you just get organic supports from the top. It's really nice.
Yeah, but we will show more info over the upcoming months.
Yes, that's true. Well, Polymaker is out there thinking for printables that they enjoy using it. Well, thank you very much for the kind words. We really do put our hearts into printables, and we love to see printables doing well, so we only hope it will keep growing. And we have many more new features on the way. Some are small. Some, Matt, you teased one more at
there.
And that one might be coming soon. And then we have...
Which one do you think now?
The dark mode.
Oh, yes.
the
dark people got mode. Very excited for the dark mode. Yeah.
And then we have some bigger ones, which we reveal once they're ready. But some are really exciting.
Greeting photos.
Don't ignore XL questions. Well, ask us XL questions, but
than just what's the timeline, us real XL questions.
But yeah, if you roll back into the news segment, you will see some time lapses from the XL. And yeah, we are building more internal units, so that's happening, polishing the firmware and waiting for more parts.
Yeah, we had to switch the linear rails, so in the upcoming update we will have the video how do we test that and age
that's it. That's true. Actually, that's good, Excel. There will be an update article.
Yes.
So that's coming. I'm not sure about maybe sometime, but yeah, soon. Soon trademark, right?
But yeah, nothing changed with having the some units going out before the end of the year. Because the amount of pre-orders is quite large.
If you notice, the unit that we have here in the studio has only one tool head, because, it's... Right now, a lot of them have only one tool head, because, you know, then you can finish more machines, because every part is precious. But, in testing, they have machines that have more tool heads, so that's also happening.
Osman is asking about INC board and Raspberry Pi 0 compatibility. Hopefully, I have talked to some Raspberry Pi people, and hopefully we will see some Raspberry Pis coming back in stock by the end of the year.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, but you know, the pre-shelling is so efficient. I saw some clones even with RISC-V. It should work for all of that. So you don't have to use just the Raspberry, the small one.
Yeah.
Oh. Arch Trico is thanking for the Gentleman's Grey update on our eShop, the pictures update. Yeah, thank you for letting us know. This color is very tricky to get right, so I'm happy that the color on our eShop and all the pictures are now closer to what it looks like. Always try very hard to have all our pictures really represent how the color looks in person, but...
Oh yeah.
Of course, it can be difficult.
It is so difficult.
Yeah, because even if you go, you know, next to your window during the day and then you look at it under artificial light, it will look completely different. And then we do it on, like, nicely calibrated monitors, and then someone looks at it on some tablet, no-name screen.
If you are doing that kind of color work, you just can't use, you know, the best of the best monitors. But you know, the only anchor in the color world is the Prusa Orange.
And Andy is asking if it would be possible to store the nozzle size in the firmware in the future. Andy, much like how we store the offsets on the plates, while I'll never say no on that, and I could see some advantages of it reminding you what nozzle size is installed, the nozzle size has a lot more importance in the slicing settings.
But you can set it up on the printer. And it will tell you.
Okay.
Yes, it's been there for a while. And it's actually saved me a couple of times. It will tell you the G-code is sliced for different nozzle. Are you sure you want to continue? And you can, because technically you can't print 0.6 millimeter nozzle G-code on 0.4 as long as you don't go too crazy on the flow. So it will kind of work, but yeah, it will actually tell you as long as you set it up in the like hardware settings on the Mark III. I think it's probably even on the Mini.
Okay. So,
yes.
So many things hidden in there, but yeah, you'll still need to reslice though, even if you change out nozzles. Like you say, for some cases you might be able to make it work, but it's kind of more important on the.
I actually. Quite often, like to, for example, push the first layer to much wider extrusion if I know there's no detail in it, because yeah. It prints like twice as fast and it sticks much better. So if you're in the expert settings, you just go into advanced and you can set the extrusion width specifically only for the first layer. Set it to like 0.6 or something. Yeah, it's quite nice.
This one is a cool one. What was the biggest change with printing and slicing when it comes to Excel? Not that much yet, but to fully support like different kind of the nozzle orifices, it will eventually require a large rewrite of the core.
Yeah. For me right now, it's funnily enough, it's the... Like, we don't have 2 kilo spools, only the recycled ones. So if I want to print something from a specific color, I have 1 kilo spool. And it's actually, like, very often you slice something and you realize you will need more than one spool. So that's something to consider, because it's a big printer. Like, sure, like, many things, everything that I've shown in the time-lapse does comfortably print from one spool, but if you go for some big architecture model or something, you might actually need more than one. So
yes, and if you are printing, especially on the architecture models, more of the same material, you don't want to, like, you know, yeah, you just want to run print after print after print. And you know, you don't want to change when you have 100 grams remaining.
It's true.
All right, gents, that is our show.
Okay. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us.
Thank you, everyone.
Yeah. Thank you, everyone. Like they said, stay safe. Have a good time. We will see you next time in a month. Enjoy, guys. Bye.
Bye.